You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show, where we talk about transforming your life, ditching the 9-to-5 grind, and sharing your passion. My name is Dennis Schurfen, and I'm here to help you create freedom in your time, money, and work for the long-term growth and power of YouTube. And today's episode, we're going to be talking about how to create evergreen content on the YouTube platform. Now, we're going to be talking about research, low-hanging fruit. We're going to be talking about testing as well as systems.
Welcome to the YouTube Passive Income Show, where we talk about transforming your life, ditching the 9-to-5 grind, and creating freedom in your time, money, and work with the power of YouTube. And now your host, Dennis Schurfen.
Before we get into the main meat and potatoes of today's episode, we're going to be talking about conferences because I just came back from one recently for content creators around a particular niche. We're also still doing this on a solo episode today. My co-host will be back soon. He is still on paternity leave. I made that a question mark because I don't know if it'll be the next episode or the one after, but it's great that he got to spend so much time with his newborn daughter, but we're also excited to have him back here so we can have these great conversations with him as well. Now, like I mentioned, I just came back from a conference. The one I came back from is called FinCon. It is for financial content creators, which is a really cool space to be in. I'm a huge fan of being in spaces with other like-minded individuals. And as much as I love my friends and my family, most of them don't understand the processes in which I go through to be a content creator, my experiences, and the things I'm looking to grow into when it comes to a business owner. So having a space where pretty much everyone around me is in that same space or working towards that or has experienced it themselves and they can share their insights or collaborate on it has been, you know, one of my favorite things in this side of being an entrepreneur. And so I've talked about it in previous episodes and kind of had it as little excerpts in, like, you know, lists of like things to do, which is go to conferences or be surrounded by like-minded individuals. And, you know, this is, again, just after coming from the conference, just another testament of doing such things because it is so imperative. The network I've built up with people at these conferences over the years has been incredible. And mine is obviously around personal finance. So being around other content creators, even if they're bloggers or podcasters or any other format of content creation, it's still so great to be in collaboration. Now, there are also conferences where it's like more strictly focused on like video content creation, like Vid Summit, right? That there you're going to get all YouTubers or, you know, just video creators in general. So there's also a net positive being in that space too. But there is also, again, something being in a space with, you know, the same niche that you're already invested in. And so for me, it just was a great place to be into. And networking, again, is such a huge value add for me, especially if you're anybody like myself listening to this, where you're maybe working at home on your own, you don't really have a lot of colleagues, so to speak, on a day-to-day basis. So either having these connections in person is so great, but also then being able to continue these relationships beyond just the conference through like email or video calls every once in a while is a really huge net positive in the process of being an entrepreneur. So I encourage you to Google search whatever niche you have to see if there are conferences that happen for those creators in particular, or if there's at least, you know, get togethers within a close area that you can go and attend. This is just that encouragement for you to go and do those things because it really does make a difference. You don't feel so alone in that process, because I know I did for a while until I found that conference and also put together groups where I actually got to be in collaboration with people around my, you know, journey of what I was up to. So definitely go and do that. Obviously, listening to this podcast is a great way to feel in connection. So make sure that you stay with us. Resources are always in the show notes down below if you want to go ahead and get onto our newsletter. So that way you can keep informed of all the news and information that comes with YouTube. But then, you know, just sharing in the journey that we're going to all be going through when it comes to being a content creator. Now, with all that being said, let's go ahead and get into today's episode. Okay, so like I mentioned, today's episode is called How to Create Evergreen Content on YouTube. And there's a lot to go into with this, but obviously we're going to be just talking about one section of this in today's episode. We talk a lot about like analytics. We've talked about SEO in other episodes as well. But I'm going to give you a really nice breakdown of some of the things I've done. And this actually kind of came about from what we talked about in the intro, which was going to this conference. I have obviously structured my life to be able to have created what I had with YouTube. And so a lot of people asked a lot of questions, and this is kind of a mosh podge of all those questions put together in a podcast episode. So if you're at FinCon and we talked, you might hear some of the things here as well that we talked about, or, you know, things that you might have questions about too, because it seemed to be pretty common in this space. So let's talk about this evergreen content, because the way I see it, right, I love the fact that I create content today and then it's going to be relevant or viewed, you know, 2 years from now, 4 years from now, while I'm doing other things, right? Whether I'm at a concert or doing other work or just hanging around and spending time with family. So it's a really big deal for me, and it's not going to be for every channel. That's something I always want to kind of preface here, right? So, you know, this show is called the YouTube Passive Income Show. It's not called the, you know, YouTube famous and, you know, becomes really popular show, because that's not what we're all about. You know, the content that I create is not really about becoming famous. It's about being informative, helpful, and then also generating income for me as well. So when we think about these kind of things, going through this process of creating evergreen content, we really want to consider the journey that people are going to go through to be served, right? And every niche, I personally believe you can find a way to help people in that process, whether it's, you know, one step behind you in a journey of like learning, right? So if you're somebody who, let's say, is learning how to golf, right, yourself, you can actually go ahead and teach people one step behind you. So if you just recently learned something in golf, you can, you know, share that with other people, and that can help them in their journey as well. And you can help break that down a little bit more. And that's just one example, but same thing with like cooking, right? If you learn something about cooking, a skill set or a way of doing things, you can now teach that to other people, you know? And for me, I always think that the really nice benefit of doing this is that you become more efficient and more knowledgeable in your space, because not only did you just recently learn it, but now you're teaching or showing other people this process, and you retain information that much better. That's just a little side note there, because I love that fact about this process. But what this really does is doing research for our content. So when we talk about making content, I'm really always looking, and we'll talk a little bit more about this as well too, as a broad scope of like how we're going to best serve an audience. And we want to go through a journey with them. You know, what are all the steps that they're going to need to accomplish whatever thing that they are going to have to finish at the end, right? So let's go with cooking, for example, today. Let's say, hey, we want to teach somebody how to utilize, you know, or how to clean certain utensils after they're done, right? Maybe you need to do something a little bit more like a cast iron, right? There's a little bit more steps to it versus just cleaning a pot. And so you want to go through the steps of maybe not just the overall arching thing, but the smaller aspects of it as well too. You know, how do you actually prep it? How do you actually clean it? How do you, you know, dry it? How do you actually store it? All of these things individually can be researched, and how people ask these questions. Because what a lot of people tend to do, from what I've seen, is they'll try to answer everything in one go. And that might serve a good audience, and I also do really love that. But then we also want to look at the people who maybe are in the middle of that process that don't need all the information, but want small pieces of that. So then what we do is look at the whole process of either recording everything all at once or having each segment individually recorded and then taking them one step to another. So for us, if we're talking about how to utilize a cast iron, you know, we can do a whole complete guide from beginning to end, but what does it look like to take the research and understand like, okay, well, some people might be just struggling on the which one to buy. Some people might be struggling on how to season them. Some people might be struggling on the utensils to utilize while cooking. And so these are all individual steps that all of a sudden become their own individual videos that can lead from one to the next. And then what that research does for us is help us understand where the audience is at, so we can meet them where they're at. Because if I try to teach somebody at the exact moment where I'm at, it's not going to be as helpful, because one, I might still be learning it, but then two, they might not have the lead up properly to it. And what's really beautiful, as you build a library of content and you start gaining more knowledge and information on how to utilize these tools or, you know, the cast iron, then you can continuously add those to the list of library content that you can make in the future. So if we go through, you know, researching on content, I like to usually do, and this kind of jumps into our systems here for a second that we were talking about at the beginning, is like what we're going to be having in this episode, which is with our systems, we want to go ahead and do all of our research at once instead of doing one video at a time and then coming back to the drawing board. So I would usually want to look at, okay, what are like 15 or 20 videos I can make? And that might sound like a lot, but bear with me here for a second. What does it look like to do 15 or 20 videos that are anywhere from a minute to 3 minutes long that will actually serve this audience member in a smaller segment of content, rather than having to spend a full 20 minutes with you on learning the A to Z on cast irons, right? So maybe they just need one piece of information, because it might be overload for them to watch 20 minutes, but they can digest, you know, a minute or three of a piece of content. Maybe even just get interested in it and then continue on the rabbit hole down the road, or save your content for another day to continue watching. And so I would rather look at doing 20 pieces of content, 1 to 3 minutes, rather than, you know, one video that's 20 plus minutes long. Again, still a good idea, but I like the smaller bite-sized pieces to begin with. And that does play into some of the other things we're going to be talking about here in today's episode, because the way I've structured my content, I like the idea of volume when it comes to passive income on YouTube, because for me, to get a lot of data, I need a lot of videos. And, you know, again, this is not a channel about, you know, how to, you know, become super popular or, you know, make a one video that like goes viral. That's not what we do here. I would rather put out more content and continue to make more content and see what's working and then consistently get better and better because of the data, rather than release one video, see how it works for 6 weeks, and then make a new decision to make a second video. I think that takes way too long, ironically, because we talk about a lot of the things we do here as longevity. But for us, I think the more data we have, the sooner, the better we can make our decisions for the future. So doing 20 videos that are 1 to 3 minutes versus a 120-minute video, I think is going to give us a lot more information. It's going to help teach YouTube the algorithm of what we are all about for that channel, so that way it can help us catch those people that are interested in this subject, versus if we just made one video, there's not really a binging element to it. And also, in my professional opinion, I guess you could say, is that I don't think as many people are interested in giving a small channel 20 minutes of their time rather than something that's a minute or two to see if the value is there for them. Plus, a lot of times people like to overfluff on content. I like to teach to just give them the exact information they need and get them out the door to complete the tasks that you're teaching them or that you're wanting to help them with. Because otherwise, if we just drag everything along, it's just gonna eat up a lot of their time. They're not gonna like that, and they might go elsewhere. So for us, I see that value, right? So when I talk to content creators that are either just getting started or have been on YouTube for a while, but they want to kind of do more of the evergreen, that's what I encourage. I encourage to make a lot more content in a lot shorter timeframes for each video, but be really strategic about how you approach that. So take one subject and draw it across the board over the journey that the audience member will go through, which is that research. What questions are they going to ask? How are you going to best serve them from one video to the next? And then what is this whole overall binge going to look like, right? I'll give you a great example of an issue that I ran into as a user on YouTube. And this helps give some like reflection. And I might have mentioned this before. So there was a time where I had to change the brake light on one of my cars. And so before I went and did that, I knew I was going to have to watch a video. So I watched this video on how to change the brake light out. And so when I was watching the video, you know, I saw them take out the pieces, move everything around. But at the end of that video, it didn't serve me for them recommending like what kind of light bulb, what kind of tools that I needed, or anything else that goes beyond that, or anything else I can utilize towards the car, such as like changing out my air filter, or, you know, how to best clean up, you know, rugs in the car, or any other maintenance things that help me keep my car at its best, were missed. And so for me, yes, I got the value out of the video. One, it was a little longer, so I definitely knew to skip ahead, which hurt their retention. So keep that in mind. We want to give the best value so people don't need to skip ahead, especially when it comes to like tutorial channels or channels where you're just wanting to give the person a lot of information in a very short amount of time. I tend to skip out on like telling people who I am or what I'm doing or to subscribe. For the most part, I'll usually just go into what we're actually doing in the video. Because otherwise, when I skip or somebody else skips on a video, that hurts that channel's retention for that particular video. So those are a couple of the missteps that channel had. And, you know, when we think about that journey, what does it look like for that channel teaching somebody how to change a headlight or a backlight, I guess you could say, a brake light? What does it look like to say, hey, so this is how you're going to change the backlight, and here's going to be a tool you're going to need. Check out this video right over here to keep on learning and go into that next video. And then if they were like, hey, this is going to be the light bulb you're going to probably need for your model or, you know, the recommended brand, go check this out on Amazon, maybe get an affiliate sale from that. And then afterwards saying, hey, now that you've changed out your brake lights, let's go ahead and make sure you change out your filters because those tend to be forgotten. Let's show you how to do that on this particular model and then go into that as well too. So what that does is understanding the journey that the audience member is going to need to go into. And that's done by research, understanding, looking at reflection for yourself and your journey through that, right? Because a lot of times we like to teach what we've learned, and that helps a lot when you think back in your journey. And then obviously you could do that with like a lot of SEO tools. And we talked about that in previous episodes. So if you go read our podcast list, you'll see some of the episodes all focused on SEO. I'd definitely read those to do more on the research side of things as well. Now, there's this thing called the low-hanging fruit, and you might have heard of it, maybe you haven't. And so for YouTube, low-hanging fruit is honestly, in my perspective, is the content that is easily created, but not commonly made. And the reason for this is because maybe there's not a ton of people looking for it as far as information. And so a lot of content creators will skip it because maybe it's not, you know, popular or not, you know, interesting to a lot of people. But then there's always going to be somebody out there that needs that support. And so what does it look like to be that support for them? And I know I talk about this quite a bit. When you get the right audience to the right video, it's a very powerful thing on YouTube. And, you know, without any data to prove this, I do have this belief that there's a lot of trust that gets built up from that audience member and also from YouTube side. Because if you make videos that maybe don't get hundreds of thousands of views, but can get, you know, a couple hundred views, you know, either every month or even 100 views every month, doesn't matter. But it's the right audience member, like the person that needed that video. You're the only one that's serving it to them. Two things happen. One, you're going to get ranked pretty quickly because nobody else has the content out there. But then two, because you've served them, if ever in the future they're going to look for something around that similar niche, the chances of you showing up on the search engine is going to be much, much higher because two things happen on YouTube's end. They know that user has watched your stuff before, and they know that that user watched entirely on your content because it was so informative and so valuable that they're going to want to keep showing your stuff over anybody else's. So for that particular user, you're going to rank higher in search. And in case you didn't know this, if you and I were to search for the exact same thing on like the search bar on our own YouTube channels or YouTube accounts, I should say, we might end up with different results for first, second, third, fourth, and fifth place of ranking because of how I use YouTube and how you might use YouTube. And so what that tells us is that if I have somebody come and watch my content to learn about how to use a certain bank, and if in the future they forgot my channel's name because maybe they didn't subscribe because it's not that super important, but they know they need some help again in that particular app or maybe in a different financial app because I'm all in the finance niche. When they search for something, the probability of me showing up higher in their rank versus another person will be really great because of the fact that YouTube knows that when they watched my video last, they got value. They stayed around and they got a lot more watch time with me in that process because I just gave them exactly what they needed. And then they got to go and accomplish whatever they were trying to accomplish. And so with low hanging fruit, especially with a smaller channel, it helps you kind of build your momentum, I believe, faster. And I'll give you a great example of this, right? So if we go back to the cast iron, I usually try to stick to like one style of a niche in these podcast episodes. So if you were, let's say, a hyper-focused channel around cast irons and you just got your account started and you came to me and said, hey, Dennis, you know, here's a video I want to make. And the probability of that reaching up a high rank, you know, is going to be determined based off of a couple of factors. So if you said, hey, I'm going to make a video on how to clean your cast iron. Well, that's not low hanging fruit. That's very competitive, right? Because it's a very commonly asked question. So then we want to look at other means to help support somebody that maybe is, again, not being searched a lot, because that's going to be much harder to rank against. Not saying it's impossible, but definitely much harder to rank on. And so what does it look like to rank on the smaller things so that way you can rank up faster in those areas? Because not as many people are making the videos for it. Now, I'm not familiar too much with cast irons and, you know, what that, you know, low-hanging fruit would necessarily be, but it could be even like super nitty-gritty to the, like, you know, what type of soap should I use for my cast iron, right? And or maybe not soap, right? Obviously, whatever the tool is that you might be using for your cast iron, or like what kind of sponge should I use for my cast iron? Because it's a little bit more nitty-gritty and it might not be searched as often, but it could be something that those people are looking for. And so there's a tool called TubeBuddy. We utilize it all the time. We have it in our description if you want to check them out. And they will actually give you on a lot of key terms, you know, how often people are looking for this search term and how many videos exist generally around that topic. And so I try to look for videos that there's, or key terms, I should say, that don't have a lot of videos out there, but also don't have a lot of searches. Like it's kind of funny, even as a channel that I have as many subscribers as I do now and as many views as we get every month, I still look for those low hanging fruit because I want to rank high, especially in different topics. Because in finance, I can talk about a banking app and then the next week I can talk about a different banking app. And so when I talk about that new banking app, I look at the low hanging fruit for that particular app because I want to rank faster. And then later I can create their, you know, flagship videos, so to speak, the ones that everybody's looking for on how to do a particular thing with that app. And so for me, I think that's going to be honestly one of the best ways for smaller channels or channels wanting to get into the evergreen is looking for that low hanging fruit. You know, what are the questions being asked that nobody else is making content for? So that way you can rank faster, build up momentum in that space as well. Plus, I say this all the time too, as you become more efficient, and we'll talk about this too, as you become more efficient with your systems, making 10 to 15 videos that are 1 to 3 minutes long become easier and easier in your process. And so when you're able to release a lot more videos, I always tell people, like, what does it look like to make videos where, let's say, you have 100 videos that each get 100 views every single month on your channel? This is pretty nice, right? And but when you take it to such a granular level and you say, hey, you got one video getting 100 views every month, doesn't seem like a lot of views. First off, 100 views is still a lot of views. It's still people, especially if you're very, you know, targeted with who you're trying to reach. You're serving that audience member, and 100 people is still a lot. Try to get 100 people in a room and it's pretty packed. And so when you think about this stuff, you know, I have, I think, nearly 980 videos on my main channel right now public. And, you know, if all of them on average are getting 100 views, you know, that's going to really eat up, or sorry, not eat up, I was going to say, it really starts to build up, you know, the amount of views that we're getting all the time, and what's impacting the audience, and then having growth for the channel as a whole. So, you know, kind of like when it comes to the impact that we can have, you know, small little bits at a time individually don't seem like a lot, but when you put it as a whole, it really will have that huge impact, especially when it comes to evergreen. And like, it's such a sweet thing to see content that you've created that served a small audience, but then maybe over time became more important for a lot more people, and it became a larger viewership than even you were anticipating. And it's always a great feeling as well too. So look at the low hanging fruit to really understand, can I make this content? And I would encourage you, don't just make one piece of low hanging fruit, make 10 to 15 low hanging fruit in whatever niche you're in, and release them sooner than later, so that way you can get information. And then that comes into our next section here, which is our testing. Because when we are releasing a lot of videos, we can get faster information. I'll release content in batches, anywhere from 5 to 10 to 15 videos. And then we can start seeing, like, are these videos getting views? Is this what people are wanting? Is this what people are being served properly? So that way we can go and make more of that. Or if it's not getting us information from the data, maybe people aren't watching it as much, then we will go to the drawing board and just make more content. I think a lot of people get stuck in their ways of, like, looking at the data, but then getting overwhelmed at the idea that it's not moving in the direction they wanted. And we talk about this all the time too. Sometimes it can take 3 to 6 months to see if your videos will get ranked. So that doesn't necessarily mean in 3 to 6 months your videos are going to be ranked, but it can take that long to see the process. And by that, I mean your analytics are showcasing that it is starting to get ranked up higher and higher in the algorithm with YouTube. And so we're talking about anywhere from 3 to 6 months to see if you're going to get ranked. And then usually a little bit after that, like maybe another 2 to 3 months to start really seeing a lot more views, so much more consistently coming in. And so for us, you know, when we talk about this stuff, like, We gotta get videos out today so we can see in 3 to 6 months how they're doing, if they're really taking off, or if they're going to be something that maybe is not really effective, but is still obviously going to exist on the platform. But the biggest issue I see a lot of people have when I talk to them about evergreen content is, they're like, yeah, I made this video and it didn't perform very well, but then 6 months later it started doing well. So then I went ahead and created another evergreen piece of video, but then that one didn't do well. And then 6 months later it did okay. Well, in that process, it took a year to create 2 evergreen pieces of content. You're not going to get anywhere fast. And so, you know, when you look at this, that's why I'm like, break it down. Don't do a 20-minute video tutorial. Do 21 to 3 minute video tutorials, and then help that person on a journey from one video to the next. Check out our method videos so you can learn how to connect them all. But then you have 20 videos. And what does that look like if you did 20 videos in a month, right? Don't make them look snazzy and everything. Just get the information out there for the person, give value in the video, and don't worry about the quality, so to speak, so long as the audio is good. And so get those videos out. You can start testing. You can start seeing what works. You can get data and keep going. And I would say ignore any data if you're doing 20 videos a month for at least 3 to 6 months, and then start really looking at that information. Because otherwise, again, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to stop. And especially if you're just doing a handful of them every month, then you're not going to really see a big impact until later. And then by that point, you would have missed out another 6 months of content creation for evergreen because you were worried about what that one video did. Plus, I mean, law of averages, right? 80-20 rule in the world of, like, business. It's the same thing with YouTube. You know, 20% of my videos do 80% of the income and views. And so the more I have out there, the more likely that 80-20 is going to work in my favor, just because I'm going to have more videos out there. You know, 20% of 10 videos is only 2. but then 20% of 100 videos is 20. And so like you're going to get more and more impact the more content you create. And that is a huge aspect to this. Now, for a lot of people, like we talked about earlier, like 20 videos might be a lot, but if you're making them in short bursts, that's going to be great. And if you do the systems that we recommend to put in place, which is do groupings, right? Research all your content you want to create at once. Then the next step would be on another day to maybe write out the scripts if you needed to write them out. And then on the next day, do all your recordings, right? You can record everything back to back, especially if you're kind of like put yourself in a mode to be able to kind of go at it. And then set aside a separate day to do your editing and then another day to do your thumbnails and uploading. And so in this process, what you're really doing is helping kind of manage everything in a better system. But also at the same time, this will allow you to be more effective and then creating in a larger group setting. And then what does it look like to post 20 videos, one a day if you wanted to, or all at once? I don't think that necessarily has a big impact. I think if you're a new channel, I would probably do multiple a day. If you're, you know, a channel that's been around for a while, if you want to do one a day, that's great. And just the sheer impact of like having constant videos being released all the time, huge. Now, here's one caveat that I want to mention when it comes to releasing that many videos. I have a tendency to release videos what I call under the radar on YouTube. And this is done by your upload process. When you're uploading a video in your upload defaults, or not upload defaults, but in your uploading settings, there's a section towards the very bottom of that main page. Usually it's right underneath your keywords that you plug in. It'll let you untoggle, because there's no setting to change this, but you can untoggle getting your subscribers notified of your video releases. And I'll talk about this whole thing in a separate episode and like why I do this. But the gist of it is I don't even need my subscribers to necessarily know that these videos are out there, because if I'm creating evergreen content, it's typically meaning that the person who's searching for it needs that more so than just somebody who's already subscribed. So because somebody who's already subscribed might not need a particular video. And if they accidentally click on the link because they got notified and they were just curious about it, that would hurt the retention of the video versus somebody that just sees it in YouTube search. They'd rather go and click on it and have a better chance to watch the entire video. So that's just a little snippet of that, but you can do that with any video, but I would only really recommend that for videos that are like evergreen search-based content that like not everybody necessarily needs, but the particular people who need it, I would just do that with that toggle. Just as like a little information piece there for us as well too. So going through this entire thing, giving you the examples of like what I do. So there's recently, I created a couple different series on my YouTube channel, on the main one, True Financials. If you want to check it out, you're welcome to. When you go on there and you'll see, I have usually, it's like a series of videos that come out. Sometimes there's like one-offs, and it's always kind of funny when that happens. But like recently I did a video series for Ally Bank, and I did it through the app version. So if somebody had questions on like how to change their email address or how to change their home address, how to activate their debit card, or how to transfer money out, how to use Zelle, how to use XYZ on that particular platform, like I got them. They're covered. You know, my reference point is that my mom might have questions on how to do something. And so I'm helping her just as much as I'm helping anybody else. And so that was a series that I made. And I did all those recordings in one batch, like I talked about here today. I researched prior saying, hey, what are some of the top questions people are struggling with when using Ally? Now, I'm a higher up channel when it comes to subscriber count, which anytime we talk about subscriber count, I'm usually just referencing that as a means for YouTube to understand my audience better, not necessarily because I have authority in any other space, but besides getting ranked. And so with a higher subscriber count, YouTube already knows who my audience is. So, you know, I can go after those like rankings that I want to try to get to where they're not low hanging fruit, but I'm still, like I mentioned earlier, still making content that's low hanging fruit because it's important to the audience and I'm here to serve them. Right. So if I'm going to make the top search video on Ally Bank, which is how to use Zelle, I'm also going to make one of the lowest videos that they have, lowest search videos, which is how to change your home address or email address on Ally. But both of those things are all serving people. And what does it look like for somebody who's looking for how to change their home address or their email address? And then also seeing that I have an Ally video for them about Zelle, they're going to have a higher probability in going and checking that video out because I already served them once and they feel like I'm going to be able to serve them again, which I will. And so that's one series. Then I recently also did one for Chime Bank, and then I did one for PayPal as well. And so I do these series because that's what the people are asking, because I did the research. So if you're a channel with the cast irons, right, look at how are you going to best serve your audience? you could do 20 videos talking about just cleaning, I bet you, on how to clean a cast iron. And there's so many different ways, there's different methods, but there's also different questions that people are going to ask and different ways that people are going to ask. So how do you best serve them? And then how do you best serve them about how to store a cast iron, or how to utilize tools on a cast iron, or how to cook with a cast iron, or how to use a cast iron on a fire stove versus a conventional oven, I can't even think what those are anymore. So any of those kind of ways, you know, we want to serve an audience, help them out with the low hanging fruit, things that maybe not everybody's making videos for. Make sure that you put out more content and not less, because the more you have out there, the better it's going to help you. Make sure you give it time, but then keep making content in that time period. Even if it feels like it's not moving forward, I promise you it's going to be beneficial to keep going, even if it doesn't feel like it's working. I promise you that is one of the pillars when it comes to this kind of stuff, because I've talked to so many people. Put your systems in place and do right by the audience, because the right viewer to the right video will always lead to success. Now, I'm going to leave you with that today. But like I mentioned in all my videos, or podcasts, I should say, you can tell I'm a YouTuber, is all my resources will be in the show notes down below for you. I do have a small little ebook if you want to get more information on analytics. I share some of my data so you guys can see my analytics. Just toss in your email. We're going to go ahead and send that to you. And then every once in a while, we're going to send you a newsletter, just keeping you up to date with YouTube news, information you should be aware of, so that way you can be progressive in your journey to being creating passive income on the YouTube platform. But again, all those resources will be in the show notes and down below for you as well. So until next time, I'll talk to you later. Thank you again for listening to the YouTube Passive Income Show, which is part of the Master Passive Income Network. Now, in this episode, we talked a lot about some resources, which we'll have linked up in the show notes down below for you, including our 7 days to uploading your first YouTube video, which is going to be a checklist that's entirely free for you to utilize, again, in the show notes down below. Have a fantastic day, and I'll talk to you next week.